Praise the Lord, I didn't know you were dying, but it snuck up on me. No, you're fine. Well, praise the Lord, we have some new people in here tonight, I see. If you, there's a little notebook back there, if you want to put your name and phone number on it, we send a text out, just kind of a reminder of the meetings, and I do a weekly Word of the Week. It's just a little video clip that hopefully you're getting. So people getting that? I don't know if they're getting it or not. I get some feedback. Okay. And if you don't like it, just let me know, and I'll...
They're good.
Okay, thank you. I didn't pay her to say that either, so anyway, praise the Lord. Well, God, it has to be the Lord. Yeah, I really do seek the Lord and what He wants me to share or whatever, and I know there's somebody out there that needs it, so amen. God is so good. Well, welcome, everybody. I'm glad you're here. If this is your first time here, this is the God of the Gathering, and the Gathering is an equipping meeting that is designed to help you in your ministries, because I believe everybody has a ministry. I believe everybody is called into the ministry, and you have to find out what your calling is and what your mission is here on this earth. And you'll give an account before the Lord when you do pass. You'll stand before Him. Your name is written in the book of life, and He will call your name out. We'll call your name out. You will hear your name. You'll hear your name from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you imagine that day? And just picture yourself there. And I mean, yeah, we're talking about the creators of heaven and the earth, something so far beyond our even understanding. But to stand before God Almighty and to give an account for your life. And some of you may say that might be a scary thing. Well, it would be a scary thing if it weren't for Jesus, because He's not going to bring your sins up. But He is going to bring up, did you do? Did you complete your mission? Did you ever know what it was? And so it's very important that you hear that, because you won't be able to stand before Him and say that you never heard this because you heard it tonight. Because if you don't know what your mission is, if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, you need to seek Him on that. He'll show it to you. It may take some time to get. I'm not saying it's just a overnight thing. Well, I know what my mission is, and it's all just, you know, cookie cutter and stuff like that. But it will be revelation to you. It's unfolding, I should say. But the point is that once you have the Lord Jesus Christ inside of your heart, and you're saved and you're born again, He's in there for a bigger reason than just to live out your life and, you know, I'm saved and I'm just going to try to have a good life here and be, you know, it's more than that. And when you take up that responsibility, things start to change. Battering rams come at your way, for one thing, and that's, it was a good word. That was really a good word that she shared, and there was some real insights there and some real symbolism. So, but you have that in your life. So the Gathering is for that. It's for you, okay? So we try to impart to you things that you need by using different giftings. So I'm not the only one that speaks here. As tonight we had my sister here, Penny, shared, and we have different people sharing all the time, different worship teams and so forth. And so it's a variety of things you're going to get that. I truly believe in the fivefold ministry. I believe that there's no way to get to maturity outside of that, because the Word says it. I have so many churches have started saying we're going to be a fivefold church. I've been in quite a few of them, actually. I've tried to implement it years ago, but I didn't understand my role. And it took me some battering rams and some different trials and storms to get to the place where I am today to understand how that functions. And so, therefore, I'm able to demonstrate it because it's easy, because I'm a host. Amen? That's how I operate as a host. You can call me what you want. Call me coach. I like that title. But you can call me whatever you want. But at the end of the day, I'm not intimidated by any other minister or ministries, because I am who I am. I'm an individual. I have a part. I have something to do. You have something that you have to do. I can't do what you do. I'm not, you know, you could maybe do things and preach circles around me. That's great. That is great. It's awesome when someone becomes that you imparted to beyond what you could do. I spent, you know, most of my career as a coach, and so I trained athletes, and my job was to get them to the podium, that they would be the star. And I really believe that that is what we are to do to other people around us. We're to encourage them and to build them up, and so they can become followers of the Lord. So anyway, I just wanted to share that up front because I know that we have some ministers in here or guests here tonight. So I just wanted to share that of what we're about. I'm going to read a scripture here. We're going to do a quick prayer and we're going to get into this tonight. I'm in Isaiah 50. This is just a scripture that the Lord has had us read here every time we do this meeting. And we're just following the orders. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened up my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you're here. We ask you now that you manifest yourself whichever way you see fit, that you'd use this vessel and others, Lord, tonight to bring about your word and bring about your purpose. Now we ask you, Lord, to come and to just to open up our spiritual ears that we might be able to hear your word tonight and understand it. And Lord, also that you would even open spiritual eyes here tonight. Maybe those that don't know you in certain ways and maybe are seeking and maybe have come in and been troubled in different ways. But I thank you, Lord, as your word goes forth, as it says in the scripture, Lord, that your word is not the kingdom of God is not based on words, but it's based on power. So, Father, I just ask you that your power would be in the words tonight, that your word would go forth as the word of the Lord into our hearts, that we might leave here tonight knowing that we have tasted of you, we have eaten of you, and we know that it was good. And Holy Spirit and Lord, we just give you all the glory and all the honor. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles with you, go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. I'm in chapter 12 to start off with. And this came to me earlier in the week. It was something that my Kara was giving. Kara's in Dallas right away, be lifting her up. She's at a trade show there. And anyway, but she has her little devotions and she always shares them with me. And that's kind of a cool thing, you know, when your wife shares your devotion, you know, and sometimes the wife likes to give you a devotion that you might need, you know, but that wasn't the case. Okay. But you know, if you get those, you know, just receive it, you know, because you have no pride as a husband, if you haven't figured that out yet. If that hasn't been driven out of you yet, it will be. Amen? Because God has a way of using the wife to drive out the pride out of the husband. Now, there's another way around, too. We won't get into that tonight because I see there's more women than men here tonight. And I want to get out here like, actually, no, that's not true. And I appreciate that. I've seen men come back into the church, thank God for that. It's kind of an equal thing here tonight, actually, as I'm looking around. So praise God for that. But anyway, she gave me this Bible study, and I looked at it, and I said, you know, I've read this scripture before, but it just kind of leapt off the page, and the Lord said to share it tonight. And so I'm in 1 Kings chapter 12, and this is King Solomon had died. And one of the things you may not know about King Solomon is he really taxed his people heavily. Did you know that? He taxed them heavily. You know, and here's the richest guy ever. You know, he had all this gold, but he taxed the people heavily. And so he dies, and Rehoboam takes his place. And so the people of the northern tribes and southern tribes, the northern tribes come to him, and they say, you know, verse 11 says, whereas my father's loaded you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So they're coming to the king thinking, hey, is there any way you can tax us less? And him said, instead of saying, I'll tax you, I said, no. He says, my father used whips on you. I'm going to use scorpions on you. And I mean, that right then just sends a bad message. And so this resulted in the split kingdom because the northern tribe said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to come that way. We aren't going to do that. And so we have our own king. And so Jeroboam, you know, became king. And so now the kingdom is divided. And so that's what happened there. Now, in verse 27 here of 12, what happened, because Jeroboam now is a king, he's got the northern tribes and the southern, and he was concerned that the people were going to go back to Jerusalem to worship in the on the altar there, and that they would be drawn back to Rehoboam and to his kingdom. And so he didn't really like that. So I'm going to read here real quick, and you can hear what he did. It says, if this people go up and offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will return to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, the king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. These kings are so funny, man. They're the way they think. They're so insecure. They're just killing people and taxing people, and they must be miserable people. So the king consulted and made two golden calves. This guy's brilliant. He's so two golden calves, and he said to them, it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold, your gods, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Egypt. How screwed up is that? And he set one in Bethel and the other one in Dan. And so he set up these two places of worship. And you have to understand, the Old Testament, the reason why they built all these temples is that, even in the pagan, is they believed that they could track their deities, their gods, to these temples. And that's why they built them. And little g, little gods, because when you use the word God in the scripture, when you read about gods, because there are other gods, but they don't have the attributes that Jehovah had, you know? That doesn't mean they're omniscient, they're not everywhere, yet the Bible does call them gods, little g's. And so he set up in Bethel and in Dan. Now this thing became a sin for the people who went to worship before the one as far as Dan. And he made houses on high places and made priests from among the people who were not of the sons of Levi. This guy did everything wrong. I mean, he's just asking for it. And Jeroboam instituted a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like the feast of which is in Judah. And he went up to the altar. Thus he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves, which he had made. And he stationed in Bethel and the priests of the high places, which he had made. And so he did this thing. Now, in chapter 13, it says, now behold, there came a man of God from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, while Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. And so he's in the temple and he's burning incense. But this guy comes, it says he came, a man of God came, but he came, why? He came by the word of the Lord. And it's very important to point that out, because in your ministries and what you have to do, and you know, regardless of what you are, not everybody's prophets here, not everybody's teachers, not everybody, we're all different, okay? But yet, the word of the Lord can be in your mouth just as it can be anybody else's. But it came by the word of the Lord. And when you come by the word of the Lord, you're not just coming to bring some words. You're coming in the power of the Holy Spirit. So when God calls you and tells you to go do and say such and such and go such, you're coming under that power. And when you recognize it and you're sensitive to it, you can realize it, and it changes your perception of when you approach a person or an individual or a situation, because you're coming in the power of the Lord. There is a strength in that. There's certainly security in that. There's a knowing in that, that the word of the Lord that you're carrying, you know that when you deliver it, you know it's going to do what it says, because it's the word of the Lord. It's not your word. It's not your teaching. It's not your idea, it's his. And you get it from him and you bring it. And you bring it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So understanding he's coming by the word of the Lord. Verse 2, it says, he cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born in the house of David of Josiah by name, who did not exist yet. And on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. Then he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be split apart, and the ashes which are on it shall be poured out. Now, when this thing heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, seize him by his hand, which he stretched out against him, dried up, so he could not draw it back to himself. The altar was split apart, and the ashes were poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And so this prophet, this young prophet comes and he gives this word, and he's doing it in the power because, you know, Jeroboam obviously is not operating under godly principles. He's not a godly man, and he's definitely being led by Satan. And so when he hears this word, and he immediately wants to get this guy. I mean, that's really the response a lot of times when you're bringing the word of the Lord into a situation like this where there's two opposing kingdoms. The reaction of these other kingdoms are always violent. I mean, look at the demons that were cast out by Jesus. They'd throw the person to the ground. There's some kind of violence that, but they couldn't touch him. And so it's interesting that Jeroboam stretches out his hand, but he has the word of the Lord. And when he gives it, his hand dries up. I can only imagine what that is. His hand dries up and he can't bring it back. So what happened? Was it turned to a prune? I don't know. I mean, it dried up. So it dried up. We can visualize that. And that would freak anybody out. And you would immediately recognize that this is something is going on here. Now, the common Christian in this country doesn't believe in this stuff. They probably don't even believe this even happened and don't understand anything about the power of God. When you read these accounts in the scriptures, this is actual history being recorded that took place. You serve, and I serve, a supernatural God. The kingdom of God is not based on word, it's based on power. And you must have that deep within your spirit and recognize it and understand that, because you do not want that is the whole thing about Christianity. It's a supernatural faith. And without the power of God, what do we have? Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us out of Egypt, I don't want to go. How will we be distinguished between all the other peoples on the earth? And so the power of God is something that distinguishes you from unbelievers. You have within you the creator of the heavens and the earth. You have within you the ability to pray for people who are sick as the Holy Spirit leads you, and you lay hands on them and they recover. I mean, I've seen it. I can't tell you how many times I've seen it. It's been happening here. It's been happening through other people here. Because we believe and understand that the word of God is based on power. And so if the power of God is going forth, he gets immediately neutralized. The battering ram or whatever is coming at this young prophet, he gets neutralized. And not only that, the altar was split apart. The ashes were poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. That's a powerful word. On top of the fact that he prophesies about a person that wasn't even born yet, that isn't going to be born yet for hundreds of years. And he has his name and says what he's going to do. And so some of the things that might come out of your mouth in terms of prophetic may not be for today. It might be on down the line. Nevertheless, the word of God, when it goes forth, nothing can stop it. One of the things about God, there's just certain absolutes about God. When he says something, he's not suggesting it. When he commands something, when he commanded us to love one another, he wasn't suggesting it. It's a commandment, and I want you to hear that tonight, because when you hear the commands that came to this young prophet of what to do, they're very important. Those are those little details that we have to realize. Yeah, we're under grace, thank God, and I think that we do get a lot of grace. They weren't on that back then. But it's not different. Jesus came to fulfill the law, and he still gave us commands. And so we need to understand that. So anyway, let's move on here. So verse 6 says, the king said to the man of God, please entreat the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored. He didn't take any long to realize that, hey, will you please just restore me? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do what I just did or whatever, you know. And here, this is a king who takes orders from nobody. All of a sudden, now he's down on his knees before the man of God and said, will you please ask your God to restore my hand? So the king said to the man, God, please entreat the Lord your God. Pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and it became as it was before. Now the king's got a new attitude at this point. The king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water in this place. I mean, this guy is—he is completely under orders, and he looks at that king. He's had the word of the Lord come to him. I mean, you know, that's like meeting the president of the United States. Yeah, it's nice to know you. I respect you, everything. But you know what? I've seen Jesus, so I you know, where do we go from here? You see what I'm saying? I mean, he spoke to him like he should have. You know, I'm not going to go to your house. I don't care if you give me half of it. I don't want it. I don't want what you got. I want what he has. So, and the man of God said to the king, you were to give me half your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water in this place. And then verse 9 tells us why. For it was commanded to me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat no bread, nor drink water, nor return by the way which you came. So he went another way and did not return the way which he came to Bethel. Now, I want you to hear something here, because if you look at the 70 that Jesus sent out, he was really specific on what he told them to do. He said, don't take any money. Don't stop and say hello to anybody. You know, don't ask for anything to eat. You know, all that stuff. He gave them specifics in Luke 10 of what to do. And they went out and they did, and they came back and had success. And so the Lord gave him, this young prophet, and they don't even mention his name at all. We'll meet him one day. But, you know, gave him specifics of what to do. And that's so much when you're carrying something from God or you're to do something to the Lord, there will be orders, there will be specifics, and you're to follow those things. Well, how do you know? I mean, you know, how do I know God's even talking to me? Well, you know, you have thoughts, right? And the thoughts that you have can be your thoughts. They can be the enemy's thoughts. They can be God's thoughts. And you have to learn through practicing and through reading your scriptures and through the relationship you have with the Lord how to know when he's speaking to you. And that process takes some time, because Jesus said, my teaching is myself. These works that I do, these are the works of the Father. I'm performing them, but it's the Father that's directing all this. I can only do what he tells me to do. I can only say what he tells me to say. I mean, he was under orders. And you and I are as well. And so this comes in a situation where this guy says, you know, I've been commanded not to eat or do anything like that. And so he's just following his orders. Now, verse 11 says, now an old prophet was living in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the deeds which this man of God had done in that day in Bethel, the words that he had spoken to the king, these also he related to the father. So basically, they come back and tell this old prophet, man, this young prophet came, he gave a word, and the king's hand dried up, and he gave him this word about the altar and how this thing was going to be split and bones were going to be burned on it. And basically, you know, God was going to destroy the place. And it took place and it happened. And this old prophet, now we don't know a lot about what's going on with this old prophet. Is he a false prophet? I don't know. Might be, yeah. Is he jealous? Could be. You know, I've seen that before. And I don't know if you've been in a few churches where people get jealous of other younger people that may be anointed. They're just afraid of them. You know, they try to keep them, put a little lid on them or something like that. Maybe he was jealous. That could be. It doesn't really say what his motive is, but to know that he did do this. And so what he does, he says, their father said to them, which way did he go? Now his sons had seen the way which the man of God who came from Judah had gone, verse 13, then he said to his son, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode away on it. So he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak and said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. He said, I cannot return with you nor go with you, nor will I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For a command came to me by the word of the Lord, you shall eat no bread nor drink water there. Do not return by going the way which you came. He said to him, I also am a prophet, like you. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So now, this young prophet has a choice here. What's he going to do? Obviously, he respects this older prophet. Maybe this guy was known. I don't know. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it came about as they were sitting down at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the command of the Lord and have not observed the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but have returned and eaten bread and drink water in the place which he said to you, eat no bread and drink no water, your body shall not come to the grave of your fathers. It came about after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled the donkey for him, for the prophet whom he had brought back. Now when he had gone, a lion met him on the way and killed him, and his body was thrown on the road with the donkey standing beside it, and the lion also was standing beside the body. So, this is a very disturbing message. I mean, not message, but a disturbing scripture. Because the guy, you know, he gets a command from the Lord, and he delivers the word, the power of God goes forth, everything's fine, and then this old prophet comes his way, and he respects him. And he listens to him. And he listens to a man who supposedly saw an angel. And the scripture says even an angel gives you a different message or different gospel, you're not to believe it. He says that I've seen an angel. Now, I can't tell you how many times I come across people that see angels. Now, maybe they do see them. Great. Wonderful. Congratulations. You see angels. That's good. Like, you are really seeing them. But if you're not seeing them, and you're saying you're seeing them, there's a problem there. And, you know, we know, you know, you can just kind of look in the scripture and see how many times angels even appear to anybody. It wasn't like every day. So I'm not saying the angels can't appear to people a lot. I'm not ready to judge everybody's individual thing. I'm just saying you need to be skeptical in a healthy way. You know, you don't want to go too far one way and say, well, I don't believe that. You just need to be smart. Because people that get a hold of God, sometimes they get really weird. And they do things that they shouldn't be doing. And they do them out of not understanding really the severity of what can come on somebody's life when they're messing around with the Almighty. Amen? And misrepresenting Him. And one of my biggest fears, I should say, cautions, or something that I really am careful about, is I don't want to misrepresent God. It's one of the things I talk to Him about a lot. I don't want to misrepresent you. I don't want to get in front of people and say anything that would mislead them, anything that would hurt them. It must be your attitude. Now, you may not always, you know, you're learning. We're all learning. So you might say something, someone like that, you're learning scripture. Maybe you know more today than you knew 10 years ago. And, you know, God straightened you out. I made a comment once that I didn't see any demons cast out in the Old Testament. But David did play that. And demons fled from Saul. So the Lord corrected me on that a little bit. So I'm okay with that. But, you know, the thing is, that's one thing. That's not intentional. But I believe a lot of people sometimes that hear from God and are zealous to go after him, they can get really messed up. They can get really deceived. And they see other people, how they operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, it's so funny, you know, because you watch a lot of TV and see people do a lot of stuff. All of a sudden you find yourself, oh, I'm going to pray somebody. I'm going to pray with them like that. I'm going to show the position, you know, because if I do this, the power of God comes. Did you know that? You know, or you know what I'm saying? This religious gymnastics are going on. Pushing people down. That's a big one. I want to tell you something. God's going to be real hard on this stuff in the next 3 years. So you're going to be pushing people down. Now, if people go down under the power, great. I usually hook them. Just because I want people to hear what I have to say. You put somebody here and they go down, I'll say, well, yeah, you can't prophesy over somebody down there. You know, especially if they're faking sleep. You know? And I know, I've been there, I've done courtesy falls before where people come up and pray for me. And like, one guy, I was like this one time. And this guy's like, he's pushing against me. And don't be rebellious. You know, I'm like, oh, come on, man. Yeah, there's 500 people here, and you're going to pick me out? Yeah, all right, well, I'll do a courtesy fall. Came down, got back up. But I mean, that's the kinds of things that are going on out there, because I want to tell you something, saints. Jesus prayed for a lot of people who didn't go down. And that's the anointing without measure. Right. Now, there was a whole army that went down when they came for him. Remember he said, I am? When he says, I am, boom, all went down. So that's just, you need to just file that one. So this false prophet, this guy, he's sitting there, and this is a problem that all of us face. Are we going to listen to man, or are we going to listen to God? And you know, this is a problem that goes right back to the garden. You go right back into Genesis, and right in the beginning, and you. In Genesis 3, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but the fruit of the tree which is the middle of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat from it, nor touch it, or you will surely die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Do you see? You see how the deception is? We are always faced. Do we listen to man, the world, or do we listen to God? And you being raised and being Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, he's training you to hear him. He's training you to listen to him. He's training you to obey his commandments. That's how he's training us. And we got to get to that place, because I believe that the body of Christ in these last days are going to be in a mature phase. I believe that Jesus will find faith on the earth. If nothing else, I want to try to be that one guy, maybe. I don't know. I think it's important that we do move in faith. What is faith? You know, the centurion that had the sick slave that came to Jesus and said, hey, will you come, will you pray for my son? And Jesus said, my servant, I will come and pray for him. And Jesus said, the centurion said, no, don't come. Just say the word here. For I am a man under authority, and I tell people to do things, and they do it. All you have to do is say the word of man. And Jesus marveled, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. That means everybody that he came, he had not seen anybody at the level of faith of this centurion who was not a Jew. And so that's where we have to get. We have to get a place of understanding of faith, that God's word supersedes this world, and that we don't have anything hooked into this world to the point that we become more concerned about the world than we do about his word. If God said that I will take care of you, I will meet your needs, and everything that Jesus uttered out of his mouth pertaining to our life, he is subject to his word to watch over it. And the only way we could not receive it is in unbelief. That's the only way. And that's what the world and the devil tries to pound at you and me, to make us believe that God's word is not true, that he will not do what he said he will do. And so that this problem has been going on for a long time. And people read that and say, well, you know, I don't know if I believe in that garden and Satan and the snake talking. You got to study your Bible, saints, because it's not a snake here. You read the Hebrew of who the serpent was here. It was a being, a supernatural being that had all kinds of, he was a deceiver. That's another lesson for another day. Okay, let me get back to where I was here. So, this prophet, this old prophet, deceived him. And I had a problem with, I was struggling with the scripture a little bit because I was thinking, you know, there's nothing in here that happens to this guy. I mean, first of all, if he really is a prophet, he's lying because he's saying, thus says the Lord, and God's not saying this. And that's another thing you have to be very careful about, is saying, thus says the Lord. Because when you say, thus says the Lord, that's not up for debate, is it? I mean, what are you going to say to him? I mean, you know, well, if it didn't happen, then it might not have been the Lord. Let's be very careful about that. So many people, when I'm raising up other people moving prophetic, you know, it's okay just to say, I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying, or just say it. You don't have to put thus says the Lord unless God tells you to do that. Have I ever done that? Yeah, I have, but I didn't do it consciously. It came out in the Word. But it's something I avoid because I don't think it's necessary unless the Holy Spirit makes that necessary. Why does God have to say, thus says me? When he says, it's going to happen. You can't stop it. You can't stop the word of the Lord. When the word of the Lord comes to you, you are subject to it. It's like when in Jonah, the word came to Jonah, he was going to go to Nineveh. God told him where to go. Go to Nineveh. You think like, oh, well, because Jonah goes over here and goes the opposite way, that God doesn't have a way to get him where he's supposed to be? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he will appoint a fish in our life in a minute, in a millisecond. You don't think you even, I've been in fish. Fish have taken me, you do not want to go the way of the fish. That's how he got out of his storm. He thought he was cruising, but he wasn't cruising. He got thrown off that ship and God put him his destination because the word of the Lord is absolute. It's going to happen. Look at what's happening right now in the nation of Israel. Look at the war that's going on right now. And I think everybody in here realizes that we're seeing biblical prophecy unfolding right before us. Now, it's got to completely unfold before we can say, okay, yeah, that was fulfilled. Like Isaiah 17:1 says, Damascus will be destroyed and not inhabited ever again. That never happened yet, has it? But you could see how it could happen. You could see how it could happen real easy with all these chemical weapons and nuclear weapons and all this stuff. And, you know, I mean, you know, you eventually run out of your arsenal. What do you got left on the shelf? So I'm just telling you that the word of the Lord, it's going to happen. And you got to get to the place in your walk with God where you just, it's God. He's going to do it. I just don't doubt it. It doesn't matter. You know, when that word came to me, I have to explain this now because Charles kind of got on me a little bit. When I say the Lord told me not to be concerned about anything, he was using that word concern with me because concern equals worry to Todd. I never used the word worry before because I'm a man of God and I don't worry. I get concerned. And God had to deal with me and says, I don't want you to be concerned about anything. And I'm like, it hit me and it was easy for me because concern, I was operating in for so long that now, oh, that's a concern. Yep. I'm concerned about that. I have to deal with everything, but yeah, I don't have to have any emotions over it. I don't have to worry about it. It's a freedom that I've not experienced. Now, we'll see how long this lasts. I hope it lasts for the rest of my life. But right now, it's going good. Now, if I got battering rams, I've got unbelievable battering rams. There's things that are trying to choke me. But it's not going to work because God's word is what I'm relying on. It's just not going to work. I'm going to do what I need to do to take care of anything I take of, but I don't have to sit there and be worried about it and to have any concern about it because I am not of this world. Right. I mean, everything he's written in here is true. Jesus said, you'll know the truth. The truth what? Shall what? Make make you free. And if you're not free, you're living in that world of concern. Believe me, I know. I came out of it. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. There's nothing there for me except misery and just, you know, all this stuff. Do I get tired still? I mean, I'm just saying, that's just what's going on in my life. And I'm just being honest with you. Now, if I slip, I'll let you know. I'll let you know, hey, you know, I got concerned about something. And guess what the result was? I'm sharing that with you because it's important in your ministry that you get to that point as soon as you can because of what's going on the earth and the seasons that we're in. Because your ministries and the people that you're in contact right now are your congregation. And God wants to use you in their lives. That scripture, to speak a word to him who is weary. That's why the Lord has me read that scripture, because that is your scripture. He is supposed to wake you up in the morning. He wakens me up morning by morning. He wakens me up in the morning. Being woken up by the Almighty is a lot better than being woken up by an alarm clock or a cat. Now see, that's the one I need to let go of right there. I'm letting go of the cat right now. No more concerns for the cat. Didn't know I had that there, but it was there. It's gone now. So, you know, whatever wakes you, who wakes you up in the morning? Have you been woken up by a problem before? You know, years ago, I was at the university. I had a club team of age group kids, about 30 kids, something like that. And I was not the college coach. I was the age group coach. And I came down here in 82 to do that. And because I like working with little kids. I just like taking stuff from scratch and making athletes. And I coached diving, springboard diving. And, the new coach came in. And it was a guy that I actually competed against, and we were not great friends or anything, but we knew each other. But his wife was moving, wife too was moving down there, and she needed an income, and so he decided he was going to throw me out and give her my job and the team and the business I had created. And it was terrible because I was getting married that year. I had all kinds of things, my only source of income. And I mean, here he is, my life is like falling apart. And that night, I had a dream that I was back in the university and that we were really good friends. And I woke up, it was so real that I woke up and I thought it was all resolved. And of course it wasn't. And I went through that day and that next night, same dream, okay? 3 years went by, but it came to pass. Now I went through a lot of worry, I went through a lot of stuff. And trying to get back in and trying to get this. And I had, you know, the Lord really rescued me because I had my whole livelihood was gone. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And so I said, well, you know, maybe I can find a trampoline or something. And I started out in my backyard and had a trampoline by the end of the week. And then I went to out to the Harbison Rec Center. It was the only other pool in the city. And they had a diving board that was like, you know, ancient, you know. I went in there and made an offer, you know, I do this, whatever, and they went for that. And then I was looking for a gym to operate out of, and I went over to Epworth Children's Home. I saw a little thing there that said an advertisement to, they're looking for a gymnastics instructor. I said, well, I know some gymnastics, so I'll go in there and I'll see if they'll let me use their gym, and I'll put my tramp in there and I'll do that. And so I go in there, and this guy, Wayne Cosby, takes me down to their campus. And they have a little, the kids that were orphans, not, some of them were orphans, most of them were just abused kids, different ways, and they had a little campus there and of people that could not go into public school because they were 16 with a fourth grade education or whatever. It was just a campus school. And so I walked down there, and I mean, it was like chaos down there, but when he walked down there with me, he's a big old guy, they all kind of straightened up, and these two little girls come running up to me and go, kingdom come, kingdom come, Mr. Sherritt's a preacher. I never met these kids in my life. And he's looking at me, he goes, do you know, I don't know. He says, who are you? I go, I'm a diving coach. Because I think I have a job here for you. She offers me a full-time job with benefits. I go from having nothing within a week, a new facility, I'll be able to put my, and a job. And not only that, the facility that I went to at Harbison Rec, that summer was a little girl diving off the side there, a little blonde-headed girl. She's 6 years old and just did. I just looked at her and said, man, that girl's just so talented, you know? And I went up to her mom and said, yeah, I think I can get that girl to, I think I can get her a national level. One time I called her in a dive. That little girl made the Sydney Olympic Games. Now, how in the world could I figure that out? But you know what? I went through so much turmoil and so much stress, even though God was working it all out, but God gave me a dream two nights in a row. And you know what I know now, that I know now that I didn't know back then, is I didn't have to be concerned about anything. I didn't have to go through those emotions. I mean, I wasn't there yet. I'm just telling you, saints, that if you're going through something right now, I don't care what it is, God's word is true. He has you in his hand, and he is molding you to the place where he can make you free. He wants you to know the truth about life, and the reality that you and I are eternal beings. We will never, ever, ever die, and we will be in his presence forever. And while we're here and we receive that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that all humanity is given the opportunity, and the only ones that will be destroyed are those that will not receive the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That God so loved the world that he gave the world Jesus, that he could, that if they believed on him, he could bring it all back and he would restore it all. And he has promised that he will give what will create a new heavens and a new earth, and we will live on it. And it's going to happen. So, big long tangent I just went on, but I'm coming back. So this guy, man, he was just this guy was so deceptive. He was so twisted. Because not only does he lie to the guy, then he gives the word of the Lord to the guy that he's going to be dead. I'm thinking, why in the world did you do that, Lord? Because he disobeyed him. You see, when you disobey God, sometimes God will use your enemies. Did he not do that in Israel? Allow the enemies, I should say, to overcome you. Now, this guy made heaven. I'm sure he made heaven. He's up there. He's fine. He's, you know, and we'll find out his name one day. You know? But again, the lesson is here. The lesson is this. The bottom line is, if God commands you to do something, you don't listen to man. You don't listen to this world. You do what he says to do and carry out the task. And understand that when you get mandates like that from God, it's an amazing thing, because you know he's gonna do it. And there's a person in here that cannot move that way. I don't care who you are. You know, one of the things in my business, I'd always be looking for talent. But now that I'm in the church arena, everybody's got the talent. Everybody's got Jesus in them. It's not like I got to, like, you know, everybody's got it. So all I got to do is bring the word of the Lord and release it, and Jesus inside everybody manifests, and all of a sudden he imparts into you, and you become. And that's how it works. Praise God. God's so good. So anyway, well, Satan, you know, like I said, in the garden, it's an old problem, you know, that, you know, Satan sometimes says, you know, live, you know, people live their life after the flesh. Hey, it's okay, just don't overdo it. You can live a life of flesh, it's okay, just don't overdo it. You know, he lies, because the scripture says, you know, you're living a life after the flesh, you know, you can't inherit the kingdom of God that way. Now, we all have flesh issues. I'm not trying to beat anybody up in here. You know, you're still working things out. We're all working things out. But I'm just saying that living a life of flesh, being totally devoted to it, it just doesn't bring anything good in your life. It can't. God's word is forever established. What he says, it will happen. Now, in Numbers 11, 23, let's turn back there real quick. Actually, you know what I got written down? Numbers 11, 23, that was the example. Remember when the nation of Israel, they got that manna all the time. And I don't know what manna looks like. It's like, what is this? Is that what it means, I think, or something, some unknown thing. It was from God, so it had been great, you know. But they wanted some meat, you know, and they wanted meat in the congregation, you know. And God said, I'm gonna give them meat. And like, I know that when he's telling Moses and me, Moses was telling him how many men there were. You know, what do you want us to do? Go get the fish? You want to slaughter all the cattle? And God says, yeah, no. This is what he says. He says, the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. He says, I'm going to send quail for a whole month, and they're going to eat it, and they're going to get sick. I mean, just basically tells him that. And he tells Moses, you'll see if my word will come to pass or not. And of course it did. Again, we're getting example after example after example that the word of the Lord is absolute. When God sends forth his word, it happens every time. And so the scriptures in which you're reading, the things that were uttered and written down, these are absolutes in God. Spiritual law is like gravity. You can't see it, but you're subject to it. The world may not believe. So a lot of the world moves, actually operates sometimes in those laws unknowingly, and they have success. But it's not laws that they put there. It's laws that God put there. But it's like gravity. You can't see it, but you're subject to it. You jump off that chair. You're not going to go down. You're going to go up. You're going to go down. It's the same thing with spiritual law. You cannot navigate around it. You know, one of the things I've seen a lot of these near-death experiences, people that have gone to hell and come back, one of the things that they say is that when they're there, they know why they're there. They know they deserve to be there. And then they know there is no hope, no way out. No way out. I mean, we live in a life where we always can dodge. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of that. Or maybe we can do this. Or we slip and slide and like a boxer. But people that have gone there and come back, and this is not just one testimony. These are people that have actually recorded thousands of testimonies of these experiences that are the same all over the earth. Because now with technology and the ability to do Zoom calls and interviews, now that you can collect the data, and I find that interesting, but I found that interesting. They said they know there's no way out. I mean, can you imagine even a situation like that? So that's how absolute God's word is. And you can count on it. You want to live a life like that. You know, because, you know, it's hard to trust in man sometimes. You know, but you can trust in the Lord. So, but in Joshua 23:14, it says, now behold, today I'm going the way of all the earth, he's about to pass. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you, and not one of them has failed. Not one. Not one has failed. What a powerful word that is. God will perform his word. Now, in Revelation 22, verse 18, so one of the other things that you have to be careful about, and it says here, I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy, of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add him to the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from his words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life. And you have to be careful sometimes. You just can't add or take away. And this is one of the problems that we have, you know, really in the church. There's so many different, they're like, I don't know how many denominations there are. There's over 1,000. Maybe it's more than that. There's a lot of denominations out there, a lot of different different views. But the problem is, don't let anybody take away the word of the Lord or add to it. You know, you become your own Bible student, your own study. There's so many tools out there now. And it's so fun to read the scriptures and but to add to it or to take away from it is a lethal thing to your life. And giving words to people in prophecy, and Paul encouraged it a lot, and see a lot of it. But a lot of times you'll see things that when you're ministering, you can't really read the mail. If I'm delivering a word to people tonight, I don't know what I'm saying before I say it. I should open my mouth. He just says it. And if it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, then, you know, stone me or whatever. But, you know, it's okay. Bring some rocks next time, and I will definitely be walking. I mean, but, you know, seriously, you don't want to add to it. I can't sit there and like look at somebody's face and say, you know, oh, you know, you're an attractive man. You know, I mean, you know, I don't know that. You know, I can just, I'm adding to it. You know, I'm not saying not you're ugly, but I'm saying, I mean, you can't add to what you're bringing to an individual. It's like sometimes people will minister and like they're reading the mail that they're delivering. You can't read the mail. Most of the time, it doesn't mean anything to me. I have confidence in the word of the Lord that He will make it happen. Because I can make it happen. I was a lady, I think I shared this with somebody today. So a lady called me up, came over to another place where I was doing a meeting. And she calls me up, got my number on the phone. She calls me up and she's going to get scanned for cancer. And she goes, I want you to pray right now for me. And so I prayed for her on the phone, of course. She goes, okay, what'd God tell you? I mean, she put me right on the spot. And she wants to hear something. And I'm like, oh. I'm not going to say this. She says, tell me what you were thinking. I want to know what you were thinking after that prayer. I mean, she just like really needled me. And I said, well, I'm not going to say this, says the Lord, but this is my thought. It's not what they thought it was. I just kept hearing it's not what they thought it was. Because they had saw something on a scan. And she goes, oh, thank God. She's like all happy and all like, oh my God, he's going to go to the doctor. And, you know, I mean, you know, because I was in, that's before I got the word not to be concerned about anything. And I was really concerned. I'm saying, Lord, you know, I don't know, Lord, please, you know, maybe that's that right. I was right. Please make it right, please. Because she's going to call me back. And she calls me back. And I'm like, oh my God, because this happened coming back that day. And I didn't know if I was like, should I answer the phone or should I just like, you know. So I answered it. I said, hey, how are you? How'd it go? And she goes, you aren't going to believe this. And I go, okay, what is it? She goes, they came to me and they said, it's not what we thought it was. I mean, exactly what I had said. Now, God did that, you know, and I give Him all the glory for that. I'm so thankful for Him that He put that in my brain. Because she really, really needed it. And so that's how this operates. When you're totally committed and you have that relationship with the Lord, you are turned on and you are connected. And everything that He does is by His word. And your contact with people who have issues and problems and need the Lord it's not a coincidence. They're all set up appointments. And you must understand that because there are a lot of appointments over the years that I've missed. Some of the appointments because I was busy. Some of the appointments because I got that crazy call at 2 a.m. and I just wasn't going to answer my phone when I saw who it was. Oh, you know, it's going to be, you know, I have to talk this person down or whatever, you know. I mean, but you must understand that those appointments are divine. And when you recognize and understand, just know this, and I want you to have the confidence, okay, that God will use you and He will speak through you. And you don't have to make it, you know, into something more than it is, but you simply just have to understand that's how it works. There are works prepared before the foundation of the world that you will walk in them. And I've said this before, hear that word, prepared. There are works prepared. Okay? And a lot of people are looking for works, but they're not looking for the works that are prepared for them. And you can tell them are prepared because it's like God tees them up. And you happen just to be in their way. And it's a divine appointment. I was over in Czech Republic, and I was at a restaurant, and there was a lady sitting in this restaurant, and it was kind of a bar restaurant type thing, and there wasn't many places to eat. It was in part of Beachy, and it wasn't a big city in Czech Republic. And I mean, the hotel that we were in was like an old dorm with a one bedroom. You know, it was terrible. It was terrible. I was sitting there with these two other guys. One guy had snored really bad. Another guy had one of the sleep machines, and like I'm in the middle, and there was just a bathtub there. It's like a one room. I'm like, I can't do this. This is not going to work. So I was able to go stay with an athlete. It was just not a great place. But I'm sitting there, and so we're eating, and I see this woman sitting over there, and the Lord started talking to me. Go tell her that she's praying to me, but she doesn't know my name. I want you to go tell her my name. And and I'm going to use her for women's rights in Czech Republic. I said, okay, great. I didn't think she spoke English, first of all, because nobody speaks English there, you know. There's some, but not a lot. So I go over and I said, excuse me, I'm from the United States, dumb American, you know, whatever. And she said, look, yes. And I go, listen, I just want to tell you that you're praying to God. You don't know his name. God told me to tell you to tell his name. His name's Jesus. And she just lets up like that. And I said, God wants to use you with women's rights in Czech Republic. And that's what she was doing. I mean, it was amazing. I was just blown away. I cannot tell you how many times that has happened to me. And it happens because I'm looking, I'm listening, I'm on the job. I know I'm coaching diving, I know I'm in another country, but I'm on the job. And you are too. I don't care what you are or where you're doing, you're on the job. And when you understand that, it changes the way that you operate through a day. Because no longer are you going through your day, you're going through your opportunities. You know, and you know what I'm talking about, Robert. You have that every day. He has opportunities every day to talk with people. And you know, everybody has your own niche. They may say, well, you know, I don't do anything. I kind of hang out at home or whatever. It's okay. I'm not knocking you. I'm not saying don't go out and find people. Maybe God's telling you to do that. But you know what? You can get on your knees and pray. You know, you can stay active. And the people that are activated, the people that are actually doing ministry are being filled with what? Oil. Being filled with oil. Why? Because you're using the oil that's in you. He who has more shall be given. Remember talked about the foolish virgins? They didn't have enough oil. And because there's a lot of people that are out there in Christianity that don't understand that they've got a mission. They don't understand that they're going to stand before the Almighty. They don't have that reality. That truth is not so solid in them. They go, man, you know what? I don't know how many more years I've got, but you know, I better get going here, you know? I think about that sometimes. You know, it's changed my life. It's changed my life to the point where you take an advantage of every moment with anybody you have, whether that be your kids, your wife, husband, family, enemies. Take some time with those enemies. I mean, you don't have to have, I mean, it says pray for your enemies. That's how Paul got into the ministry. You know, Jesus trained his disciples and he appeared 40 days to them. You look at the beginning of the book of Acts, it said 40 days he manifested after he was risen, training his disciples. He told them, pray for your enemies. You know they were praying for Paul. They had to be. He was the biggest enemy there was to the church. And I believe off of their prayers, which moved the Almighty, and he knocked Paul off his horse. So it doesn't matter whether enemies or whatever. You're here for a larger reason than you may know. And you are very significant in the kingdom of God. You're very, very, very important. You know, think about the guy that raised that donkey that Jesus rode. Remember the guy said, go tell them that the Lord has need of it. So they go to this guy that has this donkey. Hey, the Lord has need of it. I mean, and the guy like, I've been raising this colt. I knew the Lord was going to, I didn't know who the Lord is. But all of a sudden this guy pushes up. Hey, the Lord, here. Did my job. Was this that guy? What about the other guy that, you know, said that he would see the salvation of God before he died? Was it Simeon? Simeon, yeah. And it happened. The word of the Lord is the most important tool you have in your toolbox. And you want to have that right in your mouth. The word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. And he wants to speak through you. And you don't. It's not a pride thing. You don't lay, well, I'm the mouthpiece of God. I mean, I got a prophecy years ago that said I was a mouthpiece of God, and I went home and found out I wasn't. It doesn't work like that. But over a period of time, God could make me like that. Why? Because not only is it important, I want it. I want a glory. You know, we sing the song, I exalt thee, but I have problems with that song a little bit because he's already exalted. I mean, it's kind of in a way an insult. Oh, we exalt you. You know, who are we? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you are exalted. He is exalted. I mean, it's not us making him exalted. He is. He just is exalted. We can sing. Singing doesn't make him exalted. He is exalted. He is exalted. And so we sing unto him and we give him, you know, that is something that's an expression of our heart unto him. And that expression, that contact, and you know that one other song, it's a sweet sound in his ear. It meant more to me tonight than I've ever sang that song before. You know, I want it to be sweet in your ear. I want to reach out to you. You know, when you love your wife or your husband, you want to reach out and just give him a kiss and a hug and just, I just love you so much. And you just want to make that expression. Well, the heart of the believer has to want to make that expression under the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that expression is a heart expression. It cannot be lied, it cannot be faked, and it's real. And when you have those intimate times of touching that presence of God, it says that he inhabits the praises of his people. It's not just you can sing to God and you can be part of the worship service, but it's when that heart reaches out to him that he comes and he inhabits you. Well, what's he going to do when he inhabits you? He's going to change you. Into what? Into his image. And that's where we're going to get a glorified body. You know, some of these cravings that we have, when this thing's gone, we aren't going to have those cravings anymore. I've been eating a whole cheesecake this week. You see? You see how it comes out? I haven't told my daughter it's there. She loves cheesecake too. They have to find it. I kind of saw hide things in there sometimes. They figured me out now. But it's sitting in there, and I'm gonna have to tell her when I go home. Hey, you know, there's a cheesecake in the freezer there. I know some of it's missing. The blueberry, especially, is gone. It's the sampler. But you know, I don't get off on that. But I'm not there yet. I'm getting there. But I just want to encourage you guys. I hope you're encouraged tonight. I hope you leave here tonight knowing that the Word of God is powerful and He's able to change you. He's able to turn you into a new person. It's like my brother here. I don't know who you are. I've met you before. I don't know. Is it your first time here?
It's my second time.
Second time here, yeah. Oh, amen. I don't know. Did you have longer hair the last time? Or?
Yeah, I did.
Ah, I don't remember that. That just came out of me. Amen. But I want to give you a word of encouragement. You know, change is something that you've been going through, some real changes, you know, and it's like the God has got you on the potter's wheel, you know, and he's just putting a little pressure here and, you know, changing and refining you. And that patience is where the really Holy Spirit is really working on you, to be patient, you know, because he's promised you some things. You've seen some things. You're seeing some daylight at the end of the tunnel, as they say. Okay, you're seeing that, but he wants you to be patient because he's just doing a deep work in you, because this thing's going to stick. You know how sometimes there's dreams or things you go out and try to do, and it, you kind of do it a little bit, but then it doesn't kind of like, you know, kind of. This is not going to be like that. The direction that you're on right now, God is going to complete that work. It's not good just in what you do for a living. It's what you do in a ministry for your living. You must understand the connection between the livelihood and the ministry and the gifting. The gifting and the livelihood will work together, but it's the ministry that gives you the placement. So God says, I'm opening doors to you, but right now I'm preparing you in the arena of patience. Because the very enemy has used this. They're talking about battering rams, you know, that the enemy was used against you. He always fought you in this one arena, in areas of patience. And where you just weren't, it's like things weren't happening, and just like I just see like a anger and a thing bubbling up inside you and some bad decision making as a result of it. But God's dealt with all that now. Now God says, I'm teaching you in the area of patience to just be steady and make a step after step after step, because this thing is very, very ordered. And it's almost like he's got his train harness on you so tightly that you really can't go the way you might go. It's like he's pressed you into it. It's still a narrow way, and it still is your decision, but he's just got you right where I guess he wants you. Amen. So I just want to encourage you. You have a great life ahead of you. If he tarries, you know, which I don't know how long that's going to be, but I just want you to know that God really has done a deep work inside of you, and you're on the right path. Amen. So just be encouraged. Amen, God. So good. Don't there's always some negative. There's always wet blankets out there. There's always people that will come against your vision or come against, you know, some kind of an idea that you might have. You know, oh, that will never work. You need, when God gives you those kinds of insights and those kinds of dreams or birthings, and you'll recognize it because there's an excitement that comes with them that's in the Lord. Always something will come to try to steal that from you. Just that was information for you to be aware, okay? Don't let anything steal that from you, okay? Because these are things are spoken of God. It's His seed. It's His word. He'll bring it to pass, and you can count on that. Amen? God's so good. Does that mean something to you? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God is so good. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. You've been encouraging me all night long. Amen. I look over here just drinking it right on up. Amen. God is so good. And God wants to give you a real space of peace. Yeah, I mean, it's like I see you warring. You're just a real warrior, you know, and I just see you warring and you hang in there and you won't give up and you find some way to, you know, find something positive out of something negative, and you're just good about that, you know, and you just continue to chug along, you know, and you take your licks, but you just keep back up. But I just feel like God is bringing you by restful waters, peaceful streams, restoration, refreshing. Refreshing is on the table. God is serving you up some refreshing tonight. Amen. You need some strength. You need some empowerment. And I just really see God empowering you and giving you some refreshment and giving you some strength in the spirit to be able to deal effectively with the issues that are surrounding you right now. Amen. And I see God putting a sword in your hand and the word of the Lord in your mouth, where you get in your prayer closet and you just put it before the Lord. I've said it. It's done. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to wait on the Lord and watch Him perform His word. And God's going to do it. And you're going to see God rescue. Restoration is an important thing, because I see God doing so much restoration to families these days, where He takes things that have been taken from people and He restores them back. Amen. And I just see things that have been taken from you in your life being restored to you. Amen. And I mean, I've had things, I've been stiff so good some, and I thought, man, you know what? This is terrible. This has happened to me. How is it ever going to? And yet God, over a period of time, restored all of it and gave me something beyond what I could ask or even think of. And the promise of God, I had a promise that I was going to have a son, and I didn't think I was going to have a son. And we started to try to shut the baby factory down, and right then, the son came. Right at the last second, you know, when I was about ready to throw in the towel, all of a sudden the Lord's word came through. And there's nothing that I could do that would ever stop that son from coming, because it was promised, it was spoken. And even though I tried to shut it down, I had some help with that, you know, it still happened. And I don't even know how. I mean, I know how, but I don't know how. You see what I'm saying? And so God is going to restore some things to you, and some things have been promised to you, some things that you know in your heart that God has promised to you. He will fulfill that. I just want to give you encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good. This couple over here, are you a couple? Okay, I want to make sure, because I have made that mistake. No, we're not married. That's... Huh?
We got married 3 months.
All right. Praise God. You're in that newlywed phase. Amen. God is so good. Amen. I just want to give you an encouragement. I don't know what your name is, but I see you as a Joshua. And Joshua was a very good guy, because he carried out some things. You know, he got, just as I shared tonight, he was a testimony of the fact that God's word always came to pass. What a statement on his deathbed to say that every word that was promised has come to pass. And you're in your phase. I see a prophetic on you, and I see you're a young phase, but God is training you in that arena. And He's made you very, very hungry of end time events. And you will be attracted to that. And God wants to speak to you concerning those things, so that you're not deceived. You get a lot of voices here and there, and all of a sudden you see you honing in, and God's showing you where He shows you something, and you turn your TV on and find, oh, wow, that happened. He just told me that yesterday. You know? And so I just want to encourage you in that. Okay, well, that is opening up a door for you to understand that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Not just pertaining to events in the earth, but events even in your life, but events in other people's lives. God says begin to start to step out in that. You know, where you just kind of step out. You feel you have an inkling or a push or a shove, not a shove, but kind of like an inkling, where the Holy Spirit really wants you to move in an area of ministry over people. Every time you pray for somebody, God's going to have a word inside you. Every time. It's going to be there every time. And you can count on it. And when you sit there and you pray for an individual, stop. And whatever thoughts come into your mind, begin to echo them. Just have a sense in my spirit that this, or I sense in my spirit, don't say thus says the Lord, just have a sense, you know. And that way, you know, if it didn't write, it didn't go matter, okay? But just do that, and you're going to find out that God's going to really use you in a very specific way. Your ministry is like a laser beam. It's going to go right to the heart of the matter, time after time after time again. You are one that is not, you are not moved by deception. You see deception in people, and you see deception in the world, and you're not moved by that. You're going to cut right through that. You've got a real discernment in your life. Use that. And that's not, I mean, just in terms of your life, but also in your workplace, because discernment is needed. Amen? To be able to solve specific problems, to be able to speak to the heart of the matter in order to grow something is going to be very key in your life. And the words that are going to come out of your mouth will be taken by other people because it's going to be a word of wisdom. And they're going to take your ideas and they're going to implement them. And find, this guy knows something here. I don't know what it is you do for a living, but I'm just saying that I see that real clearly in your life. So I just want to encourage you in that ministry in Jesus' name. And praise the Lord. I see Joshua, we've got Sarah here. So anyway, so I just want to encourage you, you know. But the demeanor that God has developed inside of you, of one who not only that has compassion, but has moved in compassion. And you're what I call a deep, deep lover. Some people just love it. You're deep, and you're all in. When you're in, you're so far in, you don't even know how to get out sometimes. Not that you have to get out because you guys are married now. So, but I mean, you're so far in. So you wouldn't even communicate how far you're in to anybody. It's just you and God. You're so deep and you're so moved. There's so the rivers that run inside of you are very, very deep. Really, and that compassion is how Jesus was moved. So you need to understand the healing ministry that you've got. You've got a real advantage because of the fact that you are a deep lover. And you can look beyond the mistakes that people make and look at people with the eyes of forgiveness. Because when Jesus was on the cross, he looked at it and said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And it's a lot easier to forgive people when they know that you know that they just don't know what they're doing. Amen? And so I just see God really using you in healing a very tremendous way. You say, hands on a sick and they're going to recover. Now, I don't know if you've been experiencing that, but you're going to be experiencing it. God's going to use you both as a team. And I see God really raising you guys up. So just be encouraged, in Jesus' name. God's got a lot in store for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are you planting a church? Planting a church.
That's my dream one day.
Okay. Well, praise God. We just confirmed it. Okay. So you are planting a church. Amen. You know, why you're planting a church? Because God has already given you ideas about it. I mean, literally, you, I don't know if you've written it down, but I would encourage you to write it down. Okay? Because that's going to happen. It may start out in a home, by the way.
That's
what I thought. Yeah. That's what you thought. It's going to grow. Amen. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, the word that's inside of you is so, it's so deep. And you really have a teacher inside of you. And that teacher is really getting, you've had some experience, obviously. You can see that on you, okay? But I'm really telling you that that is going to really develop into a real depth, you know, because the things that you're drawn for in the areas of teaching is sort of like what I'm doing here. It's in the area of equipping. You have a real desire to see Christians being developed. You're fed up with the church, okay? So that means you're qualified. So I just want you to encourage it in terms of this move. I don't like to use the word church because it's such a ambiguous thing. But you have a real desire to see something, some believers put together, actually do something for the Lord. And God's going to do that through you. So I just want to encourage you. Amen. So just get ready. Okay. And when God says go, go. You know, because what's going to happen when you think about God, well, you know, nobody's going to come or, you know, I could put a couple people together. Or I could do this or I could do that. That has to be so far out of your mind. You know, and God said, come out to Chapin Prosperity in Newberry. I knew it. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't have a place. But God will use somebody to come to you and say, hey, go over here, whatever. Where's Alicia at? Where are you at? There you are. See, it's her fault. We're here. Yeah, it's her fault. But God used her to come to me. So
that's
right. But I just want to encourage you that's going to happen for you. Amen. And I see a connection, you being connected, where you're going to get a lot of help. So it's going to be like, it's God setting it up. So, amen.
Guess what the day was God gave you in 2019?
The gathering. The gathering, yeah. Well, you're not the only one, because they have a gathering over in South Africa that I went to last year. It was my second meeting I went to, and a guy goes, "Hell, welcome to the gathering." This is happening everywhere, because the gathering, like I see that little thing out there, that little sign you walk in, that sign could be in a home, it could be anywhere in this city. Because see, I'm Restoration Ministries. God called me to restore things to the church years ago. I didn't know what it meant, didn't understand it, okay? But the gathering is a meeting, gathering is a vision, the gathering is what, you know, Jesus, when he came to Jerusalem, "How long have I wanted to gather you unto myself?" It's about family. And so it's a gathering is actually a vision. It's actually a move of God that's going on the earth right now. And you're right on money. It's okay. You take a picture of the sign. My wife designed it. Amen. God's so good. Praise the Lord. I know there's other people here. Praise the Lord. Who's that? Oh, my brother back there, the good looking guy. It's not you. Him. I mean, you're good looking too. I'll give you that. Okay. All right. Just not quite as, you know, anyway, we don't compare here. Amen. God's so good. Amen. Amen. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. I like that University of Miami has I love the Canes. Yeah. I've been down there quite a bit. Good diving program down here. So good. You know, I see revelation being given to you where, you know, revelation is something that comes to us in waves, and we get in certain situations, positions in life where we're more open to hear from God and to receive from the Lord than at other times in our life. And I can see how God did that in my life, you know, bringing me down here. I didn't know anything. I just knew that he said he was going to fill me with his power and I was going to meet my wife. Those are my motivating factors for moving from Cincinnati to South Carolina, you know, and there was nothing here. It was in Columbia. It was not a big city like it is now. Nothing going on in 82 down there. I was like, "God, what did I do? I moved back in time. Everything was slow and people talk slow and I would talk fast and it was just different for me, you know. But it was a time where I was open to revelation, because that's why I was here. He was repositioning me, and that's what has happened. You're being repositioned. But your repositioning, your transition is for a purpose of receiving revelation, because it's the next phase of your calling in your ministry. And you say, "Well, I'm not really sure what my ministry is yet," you know, but yeah, you really do, because you really are gifted, and you're gifted with people. You're able to work with people. You're able to speak with people. I'm not a salesman necessarily, but you have that kind of edge to you where you have communication skills, and you're able to just really connect to people that most people can't connect to. Well, think about that. That's the gift of God. And you're able to connect in. Well, if you're able to connect into people with what you do or what you're going to be doing, think about the connection is to be able to speak about the word of the Lord to somebody or talk to them about Jesus. Because in those connections, and you become very sensitive what to say, not to say. I mean, God has trained your mouth, obviously. And so you're very, very specific in the way that you communicate to people. Well, bringing someone to the Lord or speaking to someone needs encouragement or whatever it might be, God has prepared you for this. And so now there's a change. From this point forward, what I'm saying to you is going to be deep within your conscience. It's because it's going down there as the word of the Lord. It's going to be in your heart. So when you start connecting, you're talking to people, and you start to realize I'm using these techniques, all of a sudden something's going to open up into you. Say, "I wonder if I'm supposed to say something about God here." And you will. And it's not like you got to have a knowledge of the whole entire Bible right now. Okay? Sometimes people, you know, they just need a word of encouragement. "Hey, you know, hey, man, it's going good today. Yeah, I heard you caught 10 fish today. Good job. You know, I mean, whatever it might be. It might just be an encouragement. Whatever it might be, okay, you're going to know what it is, because the thought will come into your head. It's coming out of your spirit. It's the mind of Christ. So this relationship with the Lord now is going to increase. It says he wakens up in the morning. You're going to be woken up by dream. And you've been wondering about some of the dreams you've been having. Some of the dreams you've been having are wild and way out there. And I mean, just
what the world, how's pizza, or what, I don't know what I had last night. But you're going to start to understand that God is speaking to you in the night seasons, in visions, which are dreams, which are symbolic in nature, but are have implementation in this realm. Because when you're dreaming, you're in another realm. You're not in this realm. You're in dreamland, we call, or whatever. It's a different realm. It's when we're sleeping at night and our body is like complete rest. The flesh is at a low point. And that's a lot of times when the Holy Spirit will speak to us, because sometimes there's so much static going on in our life that we have to be quiet to hear from the Lord. And some of these dreams that you're having are actually information that you need to have about people. It's like a discernment. The Bible talks about discerning the spirits, a gift of discerning the spirits. And that operates many times in the form of dreams. And so that's going to be happening. It's already been happening, but this is just identifying it. God's just giving you the information that you need to understand what's going on. And now that you know that, it's going to change you, because you're going to realize, man, I did not realize I was connected to God like this. But I am. So that must mean He knows something about my future that I don't yet know. But you have to admit, you've got some kind of a thirst down inside of you. You've been thirsty for the things of the Spirit. And you've been searching for it in other arenas, but it's God. And He is really reaching out to you. You're going to be such a force in the kingdom of God in the days to come. I really want to encourage you. And you don't have to figure it out. You just have, and this is being recorded, so you can get this and listen to it again. But you will be very much aware that God's hand is on you in a mighty way. And it says, seek ye first the kingdom, all these things will be added to you. I notice you don't have a wife next to you right now. I don't know if you're seeking a wife or want a wife. I'm not saying you're gonna have one, but it's gonna happen. He's like, yeah, that's what I've been saying. That's been my experience. God, are you up there? Give me a wife, Remember, and they asked for quail, in the Old Testament. Be careful what you ask for. No, seriously. I'm saying, be careful what you ask for, but I'm just telling you that His promises, some of those things that are in your mind, that are in your heart, He knows, He's aware of, and He's preparing someone for you as you are being prepared for that person. Amen? Isn't God good? You see, you just came here, had no idea this was going to happen tonight, but it did. Amen? It's on tape. You can get it. We don't do tapes anymore. What do we call that? Digital recordings? Is that what it is? Digital recordings? Amen. You're such a blessing. Amen. God's so good. I've been on vacation, so I'm just taking advantage right now. I'm just kind of, this whole back row, man, you guys are a bunch of holy rollers back there, aren't you? Amen. God is so good. My sister back there, what does it say? Jesus loves? There's all your tattoos. Amen. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength, right? Amen. It's so people can, take a problem and turn it into honey sometimes, And I really feel that that's one of the things that the Lord's been teaching you. How to take a bad situation and turn it into honey, where it might necessarily destroy another person. With you, it's kind of like you get the destruction first, but then I got to turn this summon into honey. Amen. And God's just going to transform them time after time again, and He's going to lead you out. Amen. The Egyptians, were head the Israelites. They thought they had them pinned, and yet God led them out. He's leading you out. Leading you out of Egypt, leading you into the promised land, amen? And the promised land are the promises of God. And God, it's like I was just sharing, how He told Moses, is my arm too short that I can't do this? And you need to be thinking bigger. Amen. It's not enough just to get out. You have to start, I need to have this. What is that? You need to have the truth that sets you free, that changes your perception of what this is all about. And that's what's happening to you. God is transforming you in a very miraculous way. You're not going to be the same after tonight. It's not going to be the same. Because God is identifying your giftings and identifying your life and saying, hey, you're not thinking big enough. And you're thinking, well, I've asked for a few things, but you know what? Maybe I haven't asked for enough. you know, maybe I need to ask for more, you know? But whatever you ask, take time to hear what the Holy Spirit wants you to pray. And then you put that out there and watch what happens. Amen? He knows you need a car at some point. He knows we need transportation. You know, I'm the guy that I don't want to, you know, I'll drive my car until my car doesn't drive anymore. And he had to move mountains to get me to get something else. And he told me to get something out a while, but I had no idea why I was doing that. And I'm like out on a limb, why am I doing this, you know? But then I understood, because I didn't realize my son was going to go to school very far away, and I had to drive back and forth, and I needed something that was, you know, but I didn't know it. God knew it. He knew I needed it. He knows what you need, is what I'm trying to say. Amen? He knows what you need in life. All you got to do is seek Him first and His kingdom and who you are in it and what you're to do. And you become mission-minded, and I want to tell you, everything, it doesn't mean you're not going to have any problems. It doesn't mean you're not going to have battering rams come at you. But what it does mean is that you are now fully in complete control by the Holy Spirit of His development, and He'll take you where you need to be. Amen? God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. I see a teacher on you, my sister. I just see a teacher in you. You know? And I see a corrector in you. Amen. You know, some people have ministry of corrections, you know, where they correct people all the time. And you say, man, I'm so tired of these people acting like this and acting like that. And I just see you coming and just, you know, giving them a piece of your mind. Amen. And I'm sorry. Is that right? Why is everybody laughing here? Amen. It's okay though, okay? Because I relate to you. Me and you can, we are same. Okay? And so, but the Lord is going to give you teachings to correct people when you're giving them a piece of their mind. Because the piece of the mind that you're giving them, when you really think about it, your heart is really right. You want to see them corrected. You want to see them get their act together, right? But God's going to teach you, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you prior to you giving them a piece of your mind. And man, you're going to be effective. Because a lot of people are afraid of confrontation. And a lot of people are afraid to evangelize. But that ain't you. And you are can be used as an example to demonstrate the power of the Lord in the area of teaching and correction. You see, teaching isn't always behind the pulpit. You know that one-on-one stuff you get with the people? I mean, that's your arena, man. Andrew, you're that one-on-one guy, you know? You're that guy that, you know, that person that's troubled, you know, that nobody else will talk to, that the world is left behind. That Andrew gets sent to those guys. Amen? God's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else got anything? You guys got anything? I'd take all your prophecies. Lewis, you're back there awful quiet. Are you mad at me? You are good looking, by the way. To try to redeem myself here. Praise the Lord. That's so good. Go ahead. It's so right. You think about all the times, look back at my life where fear had held me back. And two, you know, when you feel like a call to ministry, or if you're called to a pulpit, or you're called whatever, you know, you got to cross that bridge, because it's gonna be there. And the fear of man bringeth a snare, and that's so true, so true. When I'm working at the school down there, there's a spirit down there at the University of South Carolina, in case you don't know. And I had to confront that thing on a daily basis. And a lot of times it would manifest itself in fear. On my way down, you know, I would sense it, feel it, and then something would happen, you know. But I learned how to overcome that, because, you know, as soon as you sense, if you're in fear, there's a reason why you're in fear. And you got to find out what that is to be able to dismantle it. Because the source of fear sometimes is not, it's very subtle. It's not necessarily easily identified of why you
would have fear in your life at times. But fear is not faith, and so the source of it is satanic, which means the enemy can be exposed through light. So it requires light on your life and relationship with the Lord and getting in His presence to sometimes identify it. Sometimes He's working it out of you. One of the things, you know, in the sport that I was in, diving, there's a lot of fear involved in it because, you know, when you hurl yourself off of a platform and you're doing something new for the first time, you know, you don't land right, you get spanked pretty hard. You know, a smack can hurt, and the higher you're up, it can get really injured, and so forth. And so there was a lot of fear involved in that. And it's amazing to me that, you know, an individual that in that sport, if they had a history back in their past where they over-rotated or they smacked, that one hit was a seed of fear. And now they're in my dojo and they have to do something new, and all of a sudden they're not going. Now, in my profession, fear is an enemy, and I have to not just contain it, it cannot be allowed to operate, or it will jump from one person to another person. And that's so true with fear. And you have to understand, if you've got fear in your life, it affects other people that are around you. Not that you're trying to affect them, it's just true. And so it's very important to identify that. And so I would have to take that athlete aside, and we'd have to sit down and counsel a little bit to find out so I could identify where the fear was. I had one athlete come in, and they could no longer do one specific dive. And they were actually in another program down in Florida, and the coach had sent her to me to help resolve the problem. And what I had found out with her, that fear got in her when she was dealing with something, she got frustrated. And when she got frustrated, then she got angry. And then she got fearful and it locked up and couldn't perform. And it took me a while, but once I identified it, I said, when you get frustrated, you've got to deal with it right then, because it's subtle, but frustration is a form of anger. It's a small form of anger, but it says in the scripture that anger can cause the devil to have a foothold. And so what he does is he moves in on frustration, and he builds a house. And once he builds that house, then he had her getting angry. She would get angry because she was frustrated because she couldn't do something. And then fear would enter in and she just was frozen. But once we identified it, and I said, once you get frustrated, you gotta deal with that level. And she understood that. So, and I would pull her over. I said, are you frustrated? She said, yeah. I go, okay, let's talk about that. And got that out. And all of a sudden, over a period of a couple months, she could do that dive. And we went to a competition. And I had people come. I said, how in the world did you get her to do that? Well, it was the Lord that led me. But I'm telling you that because frustration is something that hits a lot of us a lot of times. And we don't look at it like that. You know, that's why the Holy Spirit had to tell God not to be concerned. You know, because, you know, it's like I'm trying to call the IRS today. And I didn't realize it's Juneteenth and nobody's working today. And, you know, they don't tell you that on the phone. So you just like it, you know, press one, if you do this, press two, and you give them the answer. And all of a sudden that says, well, we can't connect you to a customer service at this time. And I'm like, it's about the fifth time I've did it. And all of a sudden I started to realize this thing's rising up in me. I'm not supposed to be concerned. I got disengaged. I disengaged. I'm not talking today. I got to work on Todd here a little bit. But then the revelation came. It's Juneteenth. You see? But I'm sharing that with you because frustration is a big thing. Amen? Well, thank Lord, we just thank you for tonight, God. What a blessing it's been to be in your presence. Lord, I just ask you to continue to minister to all of us here concerning this. Father, I just ask you just fill everyone up here tonight overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Bless them, Lord. Guide them, Holy Spirit. Give them strength. Give them understanding. Give them revelation, Lord. And just bless their life. And we just thank you for everything you've done here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer for healing or prayer for anything, please come on up. We got plenty of people to pray.